Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. And he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. But I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land.
Over the last few Sunday nights, we've been looking at some Sunday school stories, and I guess getting a bit of a surprise too by some of them. We've looked at Noah and the Ark, and David and Goliath, and last week Daniel in the lion's den. And I was saying to a meeting we had midweek, I'm not sure we can teach these to children anymore, because in fact they're all X-rated. We just niced them up for Sunday school and junior church. Anyway, we're looking at Jonah tonight, very briefly, and I wonder if you'd like to have a look on the screen. There's a little fella going to appear, and just some of you may have seen this before, but it's just a little bit of nature. Brilliant. Thanks, Nina. Otherwise known as a basilisk lizard, has got a nickname. For obvious reasons, it's known as the Jesus Christ lizard, simply because, apart from our Lord, it's the only other thing in all creation that can run on water. Well, maybe one or two insects can, but quite an amazing little feat. Well, he has got amazing little feet. But you know, that's something I can't do. I can't run on water. I really can't. But Jonah tried. Jonah discovered that the God who made him had purpose for him. That the God who made him was also calling him to follow him and calling him to obey. God had a plan for a city called Nineveh. And Jonah didn't like God's plan for whatever reason, and he ran. And he tried to run on water. Well, he didn't do like the basilisk lizard did, or what our Lord did a few hundred years later. But what he did was he got in a boat and he tried to run in the other direction. And he found out that he couldn't. It's impossible to run from God on water. You might try, but you won't get away. One of the problems is that we spend a lot of our lives, sometimes we know we are, sometimes we might be, forgive me, completely ignorant of the fact that we're running away from God. Sometimes we say, well, I don't want to know him. He's not a part of my life. And sometimes we might say, well, I don't believe in him, so I don't have to bother with him. Other times we might just be being rebellious because we recognize God and we know God's voice and we know God's call on our life, but we say no. And we run in the other direction. And it's like Jonah, trying to run on water. And I know that some of us have tried that. And you can't run very far from God. Because as Tina said tonight, he's out looking for us. Like a lost sheep, if you want to change the picture completely. A lost sheep. Jesus counts the 99 into the fold, or the good shepherd does. And there's one missing. And he leaves the 99. He goes looking. And however far you're running from God, he has never stopped and will never stop looking for you. He'll never stop calling for you, never stop longing to bring you home. And he will allow things to happen in your life that hopefully will stop you running. Now, some of us come to a place where we realize that we run, but we can't hide. And sometimes it's very early in life, and we realize that we need God in our lives. Sometimes we do what Jane shared that she did. She did the mum bit, the wife bit, the career bit. And then somewhere, I'm guessing middle age, am I allowed to say that, Jane? You get me later, right? Somewhere in the middle of her life, we hope. Somewhere in the middle of her life, the wheels begin to grind to a halt. Because you find that you can run, but you can't hide. And God will allow things to happen in your life that sometimes the result of your running, the result of your running away from him or disobeying him, and you're wondering, why is my life grinding to a halt? Why am I beaten up by life? Why am I hurting? Why am I tired? Why am I shattered? Why am I frustrated? And God's shouting at you all the time, but you're not listening. He's going, you can run, but you can't hide. And Jonah discovered that because he got on this boat and set sail across the Mediterranean Sea, which is completely in the other direction from God, he thought. And then this huge storm blows up. And eventually Jonah knows that the reason for the storm is his disobedience. The reason for what's going on in his life right now, right there, right then, the storm in the boat, the reason why they're all petrified is his disobedience. And he persuades the sailors who've already been trying to sacrifice to their own gods and sort it out with their own gods and nothing's working. And he says, look, it's my fault. I'm running from God. And the only way this storm's going to stop if you throw me overboard. Well, they don't want to do that because that's kind of, well, it's murder. And they don't want to do that. But in the end, Jonah says, the only way is throw me over. And they do, and the storm stops, but Jonah sinks. See, at some point, however hard we run from God, we'll find ourselves in a place where God does allow us to sink. And it's at that point that we have a decision to make. We can either be, forgive me, stupid or obstinate and say, this is nothing to do with God. This is just life. Or we can recognize that somehow in that dire situation, God has got a big megaphone out and he's going, hello, can't you hear me? And as Jonah's sinking through the water, God sends this great fish. Now, I wanted to tell you a story that I remember when I was a kid because I used to get a fantastic comic when I was a kid. It was called The Valiant. There were two comics every week worth reading. Victor, because it had Alf Tupper, the tough of the track, and Valiant, because it had Captain Hurricane on the front page, who could beat the Nazis and the Japanese with both hands. Anyway, that's the kind of era I grew up in. It's not politically correct anymore. But there was always a fact on the front page. And there was this fact on the front page about a man who'd been swallowed by a whale. It was about 100 years ago. He got swallowed by a whale, and two or three days later, they caught a whale and they cut it open and this guy came out. He was pickled yellow from all the bile juice or whatever in the ship's stomach, and he was a raving lunatic. Well, I would have been as well. I kind of think if he went down that deep, he would have come up with the bends, if you know what the bends are. But anyway, never mind the bends. Well, he was alive. And I thought, well, I'm going to really look this up and research it this week. So I do what all good researchers do and look at Wikipedia. And there was great stories about this guy. I was really, really thrilled till I got to one that said that he'd really, really searched it and looked it through and he wasn't sure that it happened. So I was kind of thinking, oh, really disappointed. So I don't know what you think about guys being swallowed by a whale or guys being swallowed by a great fish. But God sent a great fish along. Jonah was swallowed. And I guess in that point, at that place, what we find out is we can run, but we can't hide from God. But when you finally realize that you can't hide from God, what's your reaction? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Well, Jonah, first of all, believed that this was it. It wasn't that he was running from God as such anymore. He just thought, this is the end. We know that because when we read the passage that Sue read, there's a phrase there in verse 2. It says, from the grave. Now, the word he used there in the Hebrew, it actually means from death. So here's a guy who's in this fish, going down into the depths with this fish, but he actually believes that this is it. It's curtains for him. So what do you do in that place? When you finally realize you can't run from God, or if you run, you can't hide, what do you do? And he prayed. He prayed a very honest, very real, very humble prayer. And he repented. He turned back to God in those moments. Not because he thought he was going to get vomited out by the fish onto a beach, but simply because he knew he was about to meet his maker. And he realized that he'd run away from God, but now he couldn't hide. And I don't know about you, whether you tonight, however far you think you may have run, whether you'd be honest enough to recognize that you're dying without your maker. If you kept running from God all your life, whether you've run for 10 years or 20 years or 30, 40, 50 years, that to die without your maker is to be just like Jonah, maybe not in a big fish, maybe not drowning, but absolutely all alone. Because you can run, but you can't hide. And Jonah found himself absolutely all alone. And in those moments, he simply, humbly turned back to God. That's what he did. He simply, humbly turned back to God. You can run, but you can't hide. And in those moments, we know the rest of the story. We know in those moments that somehow the fish came and it vomited Jonah out onto the shore. I wonder what it would have been like if you'd have been standing watching, I don't know, an early morning fisherman. You know, you just put your rod out and then there's this fish, you know, big belch, big load of sick, and suddenly there's this guy there. Gibbering wreck. Jonah, what are you talking about? God saved you. But Jonah knew. Jonah knew in those moments when he'd been in terror, when he believed he was about to die, when he'd reached out to God to rescue him, God stepped in and saved him. You can run, but you can't hide. But I want to tell you this. In the moment you turn to God, just like Jonah, just like Jane, just like Tina, the moment you turn to God, God loves to step in and rescue and save you and make you his own child. It doesn't matter how far you've run. It doesn't matter how badly you've run. Because some of us may have not run very far. We've just run very, very wonkily through our lives. All right? We might have done stuff that we wish we'd never done. We might have got involved in stuff or things that we wish we regret so deeply that we know jolly well those things, that list of stuff that's inside, that if you stand before God, you know you would hang your head in shame before him. Maybe some things that people have never, ever known about you, never seen, and you'd never, ever get to a point where you would dare tell them because you just want to keep it there. But you know. And in reality, you know, God knows. But the moment you cry out to him and realize and say, God, without you, I'm a goner. Without you, I'm dying. I'm dead. He steps in. He's not going to seek you up on the seashore. He's going to take his hand and he's going to take a hold of yours. And through everything that he did in his son Jesus Christ at the cross, he's going to lift you up. There's a beautiful psalm where the psalmist writes and he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. I called. He heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the miry clay. I watched a documentary about Morecambe Bay a couple of weeks ago. And it was fantastic because I've walked on Morecambe Bay, and I don't know if you ever have. You have to have a guide if you walk on Morecambe Bay, because some of the sand is quicksand, and you can sink into it and you can lose your life. And there was a girl there, she was doing the documentary, and the lifeguards or the coast guards on Morecambe Bay deliberately put her into a quicksand. All right, I think that's a bit risky myself. I mean, they suited her up with waders and stuff so she wouldn't get too wet or whatever. And they just let her sink in the quicksand. And then they showed how they broke the quicksand up. They pump air into it and they pump water in to make it more and more and more and more liquidy. And that slowly begins to release her so they can step in then and pull her out. And the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. I called, he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the miry clay and he set my feet on solid rock. Jonah called to the Lord and God heard his cry and he lifted him up out of the ocean depths and set his feet on the seashore. Tina called to the Lord. Jane called to the Lord. I called to the Lord. And he heard my cry and he stepped in and he took a hold of me and he made me his child. And that's exactly what he wants to do for you. And he wants to show you that he's got fantastic purposes for you. You may not always understand, but your God loved you. Your God made you. He's out looking for you. And the minute you realize that you can't run anymore from him, he's saying, I'm here. The minute you turn and like Jonah, you pray, God, save me. He steps in that moment and takes you by the hand, lifts you out of the miry clay and puts you on the solid rock of your Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. That's why we have baptism services, to celebrate that when it happens in people's life. I wonder if you're running from God tonight. I wonder if you recognize that. And I wonder if you're in a place where you're willing to say, God, save me. There's a bit of a joke about, you know, two people standing on the seashore and they see somebody out there and they're swimming. And one of them says, oh, look, he's waving to us. So they wave back. And the other person says, no, I don't think he's waving. I think he's drowning. What's the difference? It doesn't seem like there's a lot when you see somebody doing that in the sea, but it's a huge, huge difference to the guy. A huge, huge difference to the guy. And if you're in that place where you're willing to say, God, will you save me? He's not standing there looking, is he waving or is he drowning? He knows. He knows exactly where you are, and he wants to step in to save you. But I wonder why you're running. Sometimes we're running because, like Jonah, we've got this sense that God wants to put his hand on our lives and we're not really sure we want that. So we run away from him. And you may be running away from God all your life. Sometimes we've got locked into other things in our lives, a different identity that hasn't anything to do with God. For some of us, it might be career. I think, if I can just be successful, then I can stand with my head held high and be proud. If I can just be successful, I'll be okay. Sometimes it's things around us. Maybe on the promotion ladder. Maybe status. Some of us, power. Well, I'm boss over him. And I'm boss over her. And that power is something that we kind of enjoy and use, and maybe sometimes, sadly, abuse. Some of us, it's family life, which is fantastic. There's nothing better than family life. But if actually we use that as a way of running from God, then we've missed the whole purpose of being part of his family. For some of us, it may be wealth. If I can only have a bit more. Somebody once asked a rich man how rich was rich enough, and his answer was just a bit more. All the time, trapped into that wealth trap. For some of us, we live for leisure. We live in this world where we've become pretty wealthy. And leisure is our pleasure. Leisure is our God. And all we can think of is, what next? What next? What next? He's going to please me. What's going to pleasure me? Some of us, it might be looks. That one passed me by, but for some of us, we trade off our looks. And the world tells us that's the way to go. Tells you to trade off your looks. And all the time we're getting stuck into those things, we're running. We're running from God. And there'll be a point at which God's voice will be in your life and you've got to decide, God, will you save me? Because these things are killing me. These things are killing me. And all you have to do is what Jonah did, which is cry out. You know, the story of Jonah doesn't finish with the end of the book of Jonah. Because our Lord Jesus picked it up. When he was asked for a sign to prove that he was who they thought he said he was. They were looking for a Messiah. The people around Jesus, they wanted a Savior who would come in and rescue them from the rotten Romans. And then he said, I'm not going to give you a sign because everybody wants a sign. And then he kind of said, well, all right, the sign is going to be this. He said, I'm not going to produce a miracle right here, right now. But the sign of Jonah was that Jonah was in a fish for 3 days. Jonah was effectively dead for 3 days. And then God gave him new life. And the sign will be that the resurrection, that I'll be dead for 3 days and I will come back to life. And that will be the sign. And your choice will be whether to believe it or not. And the wonderful thing about this baptism is that we say one of the things it's like the resurrection. It's a symbol that we've died as Jesus Christ died on the cross, but we've come back up to new life because Jesus rose again from the dead. And we've discovered that new life in Jesus Christ. And I'd like to say tonight, and I just want to say this carefully and gently, but I want to be tough with it as well. You better believe this. Because when Jonah was in that fish, when he was thought he was drowning at sea, it was a matter of life and death for him. Tonight, we believe, and why we celebrate baptism, why we tell you this good news about Jesus, is it's a matter of life and death for you. It's a matter of eternal life. For you. You can run, but you can't run on water. You can run, but you can't hide. And if, like Jonah, that you come to a place where you say, I'm going to stop running and I'm going to cry out to God to save me, then through his son Jesus, through the resurrection, 3 days, and then he rose from the dead, he steps down and lifts you up to new life in him. That's what God longs for. He longs to give you that. The joy of it. The love of it. The cleanness of it. The brightness of it. Sometimes the toughness and the shaping and the sharpening of it. But he longs to give you new life in Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is ask. Let's pray together. Just in a moment of quietness. Only you know where you are. Only you know if you're in a place where you've run a million miles from God. And maybe tonight you realize that he's saying, come home. Turn back to me. All you need to do tonight is pray a prayer like Jonah prayed. From the depths of the grave, I call for help. And you listen to my cry. You brought my life up from the pit, O Lord. Well, you realize what Jonah realized, that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace, forfeit the love of God that could be theirs. If that's the place you're at tonight, can I ask you two things? First of all, pray this prayer. It's a very simple prayer. But it's a prayer of reaching out to God. A prayer of acknowledging that tonight's the night you want to stop running. You want to turn to Jesus. Will you simply pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? That's a beginning prayer. It's only the start, but it's a great beginning. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just in the quietness of your own heart, pray that prayer. And then the other step I'd love you to make is at the end of the service, when people are grabbing tea or coffee, I'll be stood in the foyer, and I'll be stood with a little pack of booklets that tell you a bit more about what it means to stop running and turn to follow Jesus. So just come and grab me and say, Andrew, I prayed that prayer. I'd like a booklet. I'd love to give you a booklet and just have a brief chat with you. Don't be afraid to do that. This is life stuff. This is life in Jesus stuff. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to do this work. In Jesus' name, amen.